Now we take you back to the night of March 5th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Kathleen Keating also was a confidant of the late Father Malachi Martin, who was a very good friend of mine as well. Kathleen Keating, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Art. Thanks for having me back on, and thanks to Premier.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Your phone has a little hum in it.
That hum has been with me so long, I think I'm going to have to pay child support. It's terrible.
All right. We've got a lot to talk about. The first thing I think that we ought to cover is there were a number of people, Kathleen, who ordered your book, and I've had emails from some of them, and they still have not received your book. So I guess what we ought to do is tell the book story. You're aware there are people out there who have not yet received it?
I am, and we are doing everything we can to make sure that they get a book. I've taken...
Do the wild thing at 775-727-1295.
...to get the books to the customers. It's really grieved me because it's been a horrible year. These poor people...
Oh, so, okay, so in other words, put another way, for some reason you have separated your relationship with the...
Right. We were in breach of contract because they couldn't fulfill their shipping.
Okay, so that held up the book for how long?
Well, that didn't hold the book up. They got the book out eventually. They were just inundated by your listeners and were overwhelmed, and they dropped the ball. And when they finally picked the ball up, UPS knocked it out of their hands.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have a letter here from UPS, which I think I want to read on the air.
Okay.
Is that all right?
You bet.
All right, this is written to one of your customers, somebody who bought your book, and it's an official letter from UPS. It says, "Dear customer, on behalf of United Parcel Service Canada Limited, please accept our sincere apologies for the problems you have experienced during the delivery of a novel called The Final Warning by Kathleen A. Keating. I want to assure you that the fault in making timely delivery was entirely that of UPS and not Picasso Publications, Inc. or Premier Radio Network. As a result, we wanted you to know that UPS takes full responsibility for this error and has taken measures to ensure that this does not happen again. We value the trust that you place in UPS and look forward to the opportunity to serve you again." And signed by a vice president of legal and public affairs for United Parcel Service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's an amazing letter. What happened when your book got to UPS?
They were getting ready to ship the books. They had a book distributor here in the U.S., and all of the orders from your show went to New York, except for one box that had 10,000 invoices in it.
10,000?
10,000 invoices, and that box stayed missing for 4 to 5 months, sitting in a supervisor's office somewhere in one of the UPS terminals.
Oh, my God.
And when they finally found it, and I think it was September or almost October, they shipped it to the wrong book distributor, a distributor that didn't even have my book. And they consequently opened the book or box and found out that they didn't handle the book, so they sent it back to Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
So it just delayed it and delayed it further. And I've been making attempts since midsummer trying to get people their books, and it's just been a terrible wait for them. I still hear from people that haven't gotten the book yet, and I'll do everything I can. We've got attorneys on it in Canada, or solicitors, rather, that are after the books.
We're
going to try to guarantee that these people do get their books.
All right. Now, for those who do not have their books and wish to tell you they don't have them, how do they get hold of you? Is there an email address?
There sure is. They can email me at Kathleen@KathleenKeating.com. That's K-E-A-T-I-N-G. Kathleen@KathleenKeating.com. Or they can write to me in care of Post Office Box 352 Ainsworth, Nebraska, A-I-N-S-W-O-R-T-H, Ainsworth, Nebraska, 69210. And I'll be happy to take your complaint through the attorney and to Picasso to make sure you got your book. We have had some results with this art. We've gotten people their books just by sheer persistence. I've even gone to the point of buying books off of Amazon.com, trying to fill orders myself, but I just don't have the money to do that.
Wow.
Picasso isn't paying me either, so it's just... It's been a horrible experience, and I apologize to everybody that ordered a book that didn't get it or anybody that had to wait for it.
Well, other things have happened. I just read the big terrestrial happening. I mean, 10,000 invoices, poof. from UPS. But bad as that was, other weirder things have happened with your book too, haven't they?
Just amazing things. There have been people that have been reading the book and suddenly had a craving for Chinese food, although they hadn't had Chinese in 3 years, got up to go get the food, and a ceiling fan came down right on the place where they were sitting on the couch reading the book.
Really?
Really. People have gotten the book in bookstores. They've placed it in a bag. They walked out to their car, and the bag would be empty. They'd go back into the store, and two clerks would say, yes, we put the book in there. I saw this lady do it, and I helped her, and they had to give the person another book. They've disappeared off of car seats, dining room tables.
This is downright weird, Kathleen.
It is. It really strange. And one kid came home with the book. He finally got the book. He was just delighted with it. He found it in a bookstore. And his dad, who was a NATO officer, said, you're not allowed to read that book. You know, and he said, why? He said, you just can't have that information in that book. And so that started another whole mess.
What is in the book that would fit into that category that would cause somebody to say, you're not going to read that?
It's a very explicit roadmap to the future, and a map that a lot of people don't want us to have, but we need to have it in order to get through this. I mean, there's a lot of strange things going on.
There are a lot of strange things going on in the world right now.
Uh-huh.
When you say a map to the future, give me a little... Go ahead and take me on a little road trip here into the future and tell me how far we're going in.
We're going in right to the utter brink of Armageddon. We're going headlong into the third secret of Fatima, like it or not. Of all the horrors that go with that, the earthquakes, the uprisings, the wars, the nuclear annihilation of a major U.S. city, a massive earthquake that will take out a Midwestern city and swallow it whole, the UFO invasion, the New World Order that's coming. We're being steadily moved on a daily basis towards that end. We're being moved into internment camps that are waiting for us, guillotines that are not an urban legend. They are there. They are real. We've got eyewitness reports. We've got government informants talking about them.
Guillotines.
And it's not
going
something...
They're going to lop our heads off?
Well, just as the Bible said, that the believers will lose their heads. And it's closer than anybody dares imagine.
Well, so it is a pretty heavy book. Can you imagine that a parent might consider that information too heavy for a youngster?
Well, he wasn't that much of a youngster. I think he was well over 21, but still a kid, you know, to me, you know.
But I mean, could it be that, do you think? I mean, this is pretty heavy info.
It is, but I think it's something that you have to have. And I think if you love this country, if you love your family, you need to read what's in there, because it's government documentation of what they're doing. We've got Russian defector statements in there of what Russia's planning. They're not a beleaguered nation. They're thriving militarily. They're letting some of their people have a very rough time to meet that end. But it's a bad scenario, and we are doomed to be invaded by Russia.
Kathleen, how close were you to Father Martin?
Close enough that some of his intimacies would make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Yes, I know. I was that close as well. Without being able to say everything that I know about it, I will ask you, as I have many others, this question. The third secret of Fatima supposedly has been revealed, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, has it really been completely revealed?
No, what they released last June was a lie, an outright lie.
Mm-hmm.
The document that they released was too long for Sister Lucy to have released it. We know that it was on one piece of paper. It didn't contain any of the specifics regarding the third secret as far as the chastisements that the earth would see. It made us think that the Pope being shot was the fulfillment of the prophecy, when nothing could be further from the truth. It was filled with misconceptions. I was notified by a Vatican intelligence officer before they released that secret, exactly, that they would be releasing a bunch of gobbledygook that was meant to mislead. and to mollycoddle people into thinking that we passed the bullet, it's not going to hit us. We're not doomed as we think we are. And I'll be darned if that document that was released wasn't word for word for what the intelligence officer told me.
But that would mean that the Vatican told us a bold-faced lie.
Not all of the Vatican, and I don't hold the Holy Father accountable for that. But there are people in the Vatican, as you well know if you've spoken to Malachi about that, that people are doing some strange things there and manipulating.
But wouldn't the Pope have had ultimate authority over any release of the third secret?
He does, to the point of directing something to be done. That doesn't mean that people are obedient to him. In May, when he was in Fatima, he gave us a very big clue that the dragon was raising its ugly head. And that was straight out of the book of Revelation to tell us. And that's part of the Fatima secret, the rise of the Antichrist. He tried to tell us there. And when the secret came out, the false secret in June, it was so much like pablum that it was hard to imagine that John the 23rd passed out when he read it, or that a 10-year-old would be frightened.
No, that's quite true.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, that Father Martin said, mm-hmm. and he said on the air about the third secret, that if you can imagine the worst, this is, it's much worse than that. It's beyond your imagination of awful.
Even if you were to take your imagination, the worst that it could be, or whatever movie, and multiply it exponentially, it still would not be as horrific as what we're going to go through.
Now, as bad as the assassination of a pope is,
mm-hmm.
it would not be described in that magnitude by Father Martin. Popes would not pass out when they read it, that sort of thing. It's obvious that we didn't get the real McCoy.
No, and nor would Father Martin have sworn an oath not to say something. He had very serious knowledge of what's coming, as you when he relayed things to you. So it's something that it's an anomaly that they've let out. It's a real paradox, but definitely designed to hurt us in the end, to keep us complacent and to think that we're okay.
Kathleen, what do you know of the contents of the real third secret?
I never asked Father Martin directly because I didn't want to put him into a bad position. I asked him to tell me in generality. I've had it confirmed with other people as far as what's contained, and it refers to very specific chastisements, both spiritual and physical. Just horrible things. You know, not only the rise of the Antichrist, the destruction of the Catholic Church, save a remnant part, terrible UFO problems that are coming, horrible earthquakes, just tumultuous earth changes that nobody can even fathom, one right after another and some simultaneously.
And is all this leading to something, to some crescendo, or is it just a long period of time and we will experience some little piece of that unfolding?
Well, we are every day, aren't we? I mean, we're seeing the shootings occurring in schools, and some psychologists are even calling it Manchurian candidate kids, that they seem to just go off at opportune moments. We've got the earthquake in Seattle. I was fascinated to find that in the Bible code. It even had 6.8 on there, and I think we're just going to see, one prophecy is that we're going to see mountains split to the ground and just disappear. If you think of the United States, we're going to be split in half. We're going to be invaded by the Chinese and Russians. They're working together. Just horrible things. The heads of Americans will be on the light poles.
Somebody sent the following. I read the final warning. It was enjoyable and informative. I'm sure you cannot read God's mind, but why do you suppose the first five books of the Bible are mm-hmm. in secret code for only a select few, those who can afford the special decoder software from your net site to interpret them, when all the rest of the Bible is readily available for all of us to understand? Why are the first five books encoded?
Well, I think that was the book that Daniel talked about that would be closed until the end days. And I think that's through the advent of computers and so forth, we're seeing that book opened. And I think that's to prove the mind of God, how great it is, because we're going to be hearing that God didn't create us. We were dropped here. You know, there are other alien beings that deposited us here as an experiment.
Oh, that's been going on with Zachariah Sitchin and many others
sure.
for a very long time, Kathleen.
Sure. And they're going to try, through this deception, to debunk the creation theory and to debunk God. And I think that when you look at the Bible code, yes, the software is expensive, and it's really too bad, because I wish it were public domain. Because what is in that Bible code is just, it's not like a Ouija board that you can predict the future, but it certainly has the overwhelming evidence of a God that's so great and so beyond our imagining that, you know, there's just no doubt that he exists.
Have you ever wondered, Kathleen, what if you're wrong? What if the Zachariah Sitchins are right? What if so many others who can prove ancient civilization at a time when there should have been no humans on the planet? I want to bring some of those people on. They have very compelling arguments.
They do, don't they? And,
yes.
And a lot of them, you start to listen to it, and it seems to make sense. But in the final analysis, it won't hold up. Just like anything else, it's going to look good for a while. But in my heart of hearts, and I know in Father Martin's heart, we knew. You just know that it isn't going to be what they say it is.
Or what about was? In other words, that our beginnings are not as described in the Bible, that Genesis is not the way it all began, that evolution is, in fact, a scientific reality.
Mm-hmm. I think if that happens, Art, if that comes about and people accept that, I think they will readily lose their minds within a short period of time, because I think God is the glue
that holds everything together.
That holds us together. And when you remove him, as we're finding out in this country, when you remove him from schools and the courts, we're going to suffer for it. And I think that our minds will not be able to fathom the fact that he isn't there. I think we know he is in our souls. I think we're imprinted with that. And I think that when this deception comes on, it's just going to make a lot of crazy people.
Well, a lot of people say that wars, so many killings are done in God's name.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are right. There are a lot of people that have died in wars, fought with God's name. And
absolutely.
A lot of people who do very terrible things always claim to have God on their side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's not right. You know, you just can't kill somebody in the name of religion. That's not what it's about. But a lot of people misuse that, and we're going to have probably the biggest battle of religious hobnobs in the history of mankind very soon. Of, you know, we're all going to go to this one faith, and we have to do it this way, and it's going to be a terrible debacle.
All right, I was talking earlier about the shooting in Santee.
Mm-hmm.
One 15-year-old boy walks into a school bathroom with a pistol and starts shooting his classmates, kills
right.
two, wounds many more.
Mm-hmm.
A 15-year-old, I was told that he smiled as he did the shooting.
Right.
That he smiled, Kathleen.
Right.
Now, I ask myself whether there really is an evil, an honest-to-goodness external evil force, as we think of the devil or
mm-hmm.
Lucifer or, I don't know, whatever name you want to attach to it, a real external evil force. You believe there is, don't you?
Absolutely. I have experienced it, and I know it's there. I know it's real. I know people who else, they've had it up close and personal. Father Martin certainly had it.
Yes, Father Martin saw it. Father Martin did exorcisms and dealt directly with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one instance in your life when you, too, dealt directly with it, wasn't there?
There was, when the Antichrist came to visit.
All right. Only in America. The Antichrist came to visit. We'll tell that story briefly at the bottom of the hour, coming out of the bottom of the hour, and then we'll move forward from there. But that happened. The Antichrist actually came to visit Kathleen Keating.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from March 5th, 2001.
Giant.